Well, hey, everybody, how you guys doing today? Man, it's good to see so many of you here this weekend. Let's hear it for the band one more time. Man, that's not just awesome, a great way. Man, I needed that in my spirit. Man, it's great to have you joining us. And if you're here for the first time, as we say all the time, we certainly hope it's not your last time. And to those of you tuning online, it's great to have you join us from wherever you may be joining us from, whether it's right here in the Indy area or our state, our nation, or even our world. How cool is that, that you can be joining us from wherever you may be at? My name's Kurt, and today I'm excited because we're going to talk a little bit about what's next as we move forward into the rest of this year. And as we talk a little bit about that, you're going to get some senses of how God's been leading our team and how we sense God is leading us forward. And I'm going to talk some about the values that we have, or we call them hills, the hills we die on, and how those have kind of informed how we've operated over the last 15 months, as well as how we've adjusted our strategy as we look forward to the rest of this year. Now, if you've been around here for, you know, a few years, or if you've been here since we began 14 and a half years ago, I think you're going to be really interested in this. If you've joined us anytime since then, I think you're going to find that this is helpful. It might answer some questions on why we've kind of done some of the things we've done, and then at the end, I'm going to give you some very clear strategic walkouts in terms of what we think God wants to continue to do. So let me pray for us, and then we're going to dive into this. Heavenly Father, thank you for the chance to be here this weekend. Thank you for inviting us into this initiative that you continue to do in the world of called the Kingdom of God, and how you invite us to be a part of it with you, and it's touched our lives. We're here because we're pursuing something. There's something that's landed with us. There's a meaning that comes as we connect with you, and so we just pray that you continue to move that forward as a result of our time this week. And we pray these things according to your name and your character, Jesus. Amen. Well, you know, as we began to go into the COVID season just over 15 months ago, I was just looking back at some of the early messaging that we had. And, you know, we kind of said, when we realized that the lockdown and the shutdown was like becoming a reality, we said we weren't not going to have any in-person services for 4 weeks. And, you know, it was interesting because I had people emailing me and saying, are we really doing this? Are we really, like, are you shutting stuff down? And, you know, I had other people saying, you know, we're not shutting stuff down, are we? I mean, just business as usual, you know, just kind of go steady ahead. And it just didn't seem, as we were getting a sense, that this was a business as usual time. And honestly, I didn't think it was going to last more than 4 weeks. I had no idea that 15 months later, you know, we would still be in the midst of a worldwide pandemic and navigating what that means for our culture here and our community and our world. And so, you know, we did a quick pivot on our environments. Literally in 7 hours, we turned from expecting people on a Thursday evening to going to a virtual online service only, which I know so many of you were grateful for, especially in those early months, because it was the only, like, contact. In fact, I had one neighbor that stopped me when we were walking our neighborhood about 2 months in, and she attends here, and she said, thank you. She said, you guys are literally the only outside contact we have into our home on a regular basis. And so I know, you know, so many of you were just so grateful for that. And of course, our big concern was, how do we bring hope and inspire hope in people? Because we've never gone through this before. How do we equip our tribe? How do we bring the tools that we're going to need to go through kind of adverse and difficult moments? For those of you who are parents, we were, you know, saying, how do we come alongside you and provide opportunities for you to have something in your home so you can continue to grow the faith of your children? Because the faith of our children is worth everything. It's how the faith goes forward. And so, you know, what we discovered, and this probably isn't news to you, but some people did really well as we went through those first opening months, and some didn't do so well, right? And let's be honest, it was hard. Like, it was just a hard season. So we began to kind of ask the question, you know, what can we do to partner with our community, with the Crosspoint tribe, with individuals, families, students, parents, and how do we keep people engaged when we're not sitting shoulder to shoulder in this space because the buildings have become, you know, shut down? And so we shifted a lot of our assets and a lot of our staff energy to that initiative. And so then when we felt like it was safe to begin to resume meeting together, that happened here in the venue, for those of you that were here. That was late May last year. And then we continued kids and students online. And, you know, at CSM and Area 56, which are 5th and 6th graders, you know, they had some in-person outdoor events where they could kind of connect and maintain relationships. There were driveway groups and patio groups and lawn groups. I mean, just everything possible to try to keep our kids and students engaged. And you know, again, for the parents who utilized that and kept their kids engaged, I know you were so thankful. And did we do it correctly? We don't know. I'm pretty confident we didn't. Did we do it perfectly? Probably not. I don't know that there was a perfect way. There was no playbook for this because none of us, including myself, have gone through a worldwide pandemic and experienced anything like this. And so, you know, we just wanted to provide engagement, keep connection, continue to inspire hope. And then, you know, nearly a year later, which was just this past, you know, earlier this last month, we resumed our kids and student in-person experiences, which was so, yeah, hadn't that been awesome for kids and students to be back in the buildings on, yeah, I know some of you, your kids are here, it's awesome. And I just want to say thank you to the volunteers, by the way, that started our kids and students back up, because here's the thing, they come and take care and teach everybody else's kids, and including their own, but then they don't get to come and sit in this space because there's not another environment for their kids to go to, so they usually go home and watch from home. So, I mean, it's a very sacrificial thing they're doing, putting others first, which is how things move forward. So, you know, all that to say, 2020 really tested, I think, every church's mission and commitment to the mission. And it helped us, we got to kind of figure out, are we committed to the mission opposed to just being committed to a model of what we do, the way we go about doing church? And you know, the thing is churches' models were connected to their physical buildings, and all of our physical buildings kind of shut down. And so that challenged a lot of our understandings of what it means to go to church, engage, and be the church. And you've heard me say all throughout this pandemic, you know, the church never shut down. I mean, it never stopped, and the kingdom of God continued to go forward. It still goes forward. It's just that we pivoted and had to do that through different expressions. So, you know, we had the question, do we put our model over our mission and just be committed to a model, or do we kind of, you know, confuse the two and scrape and scrap and, you know, try to just get back to the same model because we don't know how else to do it? And I just want to say I'm so proud of those of you who have been, you know, in the seats adjusting to, you know, saying, hey, we want to stay on mission even if the model's different. Those of you tuning in online, of course, you know, this is an entirely different experience for the online community. And so, you know, for our team, we had to put that model aside for the sake of the mission. And this last year really created a lot of clarity on the mission for us. And it was a horrible year, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, in terms of the impact on our community and on our world, you know, economically and health-wise, and, you know, with deaths and losing loved ones and loss of jobs and, you know, just the mental health, you know, the challenges that just arose through the season. But it did create some clarity on what are we here for? Why do we do the things we do, not as a model, but as a mission? And so I just thought it might be helpful as we talk about where we're going next for you to kind of know, like, what is the mission and why do we continue to do the things we do? Well, here's our mission. We kind of retooled this a few years ago, and we're simply here to help people find their way to God. It's very simple. We want to help people find their way to God through creating space, experiences, shaping environments, group, and, you know, getting out of rows and into circles and growing in community with one another. But one of the things we discovered over these past 15 months is while we've stayed, you know, focused on the mission, it's really our values, or we call them hills, the hills we die on, they're the things that really informed why we've operated the way we've operated. In fact, a friend of mine recently said to me, he said, Kurt, your mission sets the course, but especially in times of adversity, it's your values that define your behaviors as you accomplish the mission. And so I want to kind of take you on a quick behind-the-scenes look, kind of open up the curtains a bit on what these have been. Some of you might have heard these before. These may be brand new to some of us. I sat and on-ramped a couple of our interns a couple weeks ago, and I was going through that on-ramping and talking about our hills that we die on. I thought, man, these have been so influential. I think it'd be helpful for all of us to understand a bit about them. So here we go. The first hill we have here, first value we have is to love God. Love God. And we believe we're here to help people see there's a God who loves them, who runs after them, pursues them, chases them down, not to condemn them, not to strike them down, as so many of us have thought that's how God operates, but simply to experience and see there's a God who wants to know you and love you and be in relationship with you. So how do we inspire that kind of love relationship? And, you know, Jesus once was asked, you know, Jesus, he was kind of actually trying to be kind of tricked or tripped up, put in a corner, if you will. The religious leader said, Jesus, if you could sum everything up into one statement, all the laws and prophets, what would it be? Jesus thought for a moment, and he came up with a brilliant statement. He said, I just think if I could sum it up, I'd say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and without even taking a breath, he went on and said, and love your neighbor as yourself. Which leads us to our second value, which is to love others. In fact, we've said since day one here at Crosspoint, perhaps the way we do show our love for God is in how we love others. And as you think about that, you know, Jesus, you know, modeled this for us. And in fact, this has been hugely shaping for us through the COVID shutdown and lockdown. And in fact, last weekend, you know, I taught on how love always protects, how love defends, how love stands guard against those who are vulnerable. And so that's part of what we have done as we've made decisions here at Crosspoint. And we've taken some criticism on it. I mean, there's people that haven't liked the fact that we didn't have all our kids and students going, and we get that. There's appropriate questions in that. But let me tell you, I have been so impressed, Crosspoint, with your patience and the way that you have loved others. Because love is patient, right? And the way you've put the needs of others ahead of your own, you know, convenience, because this is what love's required of us. And so this value has been huge in driving us. The third one, the third hill, is this idea of life together, the doing life together. And this is getting out of rows and into circles, which totally got disrupted during the COVID season. There were no rows to get out of because we weren't even in the building, and there were no circles. I mean, people were jumping into a matrix of windows on a Zoom window. And so, you know, again, this kind of got upended, but we realized the value of community is still so strong. In fact, this kind of originates, if you go back to the creation narrative, as you think about, you know, the creation poem in Genesis 1, the first 3 days, God separates. He separates the night from the day. He separates the sky from the land. He separates the water, dry land from the water. And then he begins to populate the next 3 days. Every day he does this, he says, oh, it's good, it's good, it's good. And then he creates the foliage in the fields and the fish in the sea and the beasts in the field and the lions, tigers, and bears. Oh man, you guys are paying attention. And he says it's good. And then on the sixth day, he creates man in his own image. And he says, steps back and goes, whoa, that's very good. And then if you go about a chapter later, you begin to hear something you've never heard to this point out of the voice of God. He says, there's something not right. There's something that's not the way it's supposed to be. He says, it is not good that man is alone. So I will make a suitable helper for him. Suitable helper simply means a corresponding strength. And so we discovered during COVID that, you know, even though we shut down in many ways, being connected in community was critically, critically important. And those who were in that and had that kind of community fared much better, it seemed. Our next tale is this idea of changed lives and the belief that Jesus still changes things, that he still mends the brokenness in our lives and brings the dead places back to life. And the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to you and me. In fact, the Apostle Paul wrote this in Romans. He said, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies in the same Spirit living within you. And the amazing thing is, even a worldwide pandemic couldn't keep that down. We still had lives being changed. I mean, look at this. We had baptisms happening, lives, people, you know, turning their lives to Christ, receiving Jesus, entering restorative relationships. I mean, it's just been one of the coolest things. The fifth hill that we have is one called excellence. Now, this is a unique one. How many of us grew up in Sunday school just out of curiosity, and you remember the chart on the wall? And this, I know this isn't everybody's experience, but the chart on the wall where you got a gold star, and you'd put it up there if you showed up. You'd put it up there if you memorized verses. Anybody have that experience? Like, you're sweating right now, right? You're like, oh, my gosh. I would sweat every time I went to Sunday school because I'm like, oh, I didn't do my homework. I'm not going to get the gold star. This has nothing to do with that, just so you know. Nothing to do with that. The excellence, our hill of excellence means if something's worth doing, we think it's worth doing well. In fact, anything worth doing is worth doing well. It doesn't matter if you're up here on the stage or pushing faders behind the scenes or welcoming somebody in the front door or holding the baby in the nursery. We just feel like, man, if you're going to do it, bring your A game. If it's your B game, it's not good enough. It says God wants us to bring our A game. He wants us to bring our best. In fact, again, the Apostle Paul talks about this. He says, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. I can't tell you, it's been so cool how many countless hours people in our tech and band put in above and beyond to bring excellence every single week. In fact, there's weeks where they stayed after a service because we didn't capture or we had a breakdown in our capturing technology and we had to do the entire service over again and they'd be here for an hour or 2 hours, which, by the way, can we just thank our band, singers, tech? All these teams never had a break. Listen, yeah, let's thank them. Amazing. These teams never had a weekend off. Every single weekend they showed up to continue to inspire hope and they brought their best. It's just amazing. This is a huge driver over the last number of months. Now, the next hill is one called cultural relevance. And you see these icons that are lighting up with these. This is the idea of arrows going out. How do we stay relevant to the culture? And this is really unique to Crosspoint because, you know, for us, we continue to ask the question, how do we communicate to the nuns, to the spiritual nuns, the people who really don't have any faith background? For instance, you know, the cover song, Adventure of a Lifetime, that we just did a few minutes ago. I mean, you know, there might be people that walk in here and don't know a single word of any song that we sing, but they hear that song like, oh, I know Coldplay. I know that. And it ties into something we're talking about. In fact, I still will get texts from people that are going through lows, and they're like, man, I just heard Coldplay on the overhead speakers, and that song we did last week reminded me of what we talked about. And that's, you know, so cultural relevance is about meeting people where they are and bringing God and making God relevant. And the Apostle Paul, we see him do this in this when he enters the city of Athens. And in fact, we looked at this story back on game day, which talk about cultural relevance. If you've never been here for game day, it's like Super Bowl, football, and church all in one. It's one of the best weekends ever. And you can check it out. If you miss it, you can check it out. You can go to the watch button, go to previous weekends, and it's all there. You can catch it. But cultural relevance, Paul goes into the city of Athens, and he says this. He says, people of Athens, I see that in every way you're very religious. He looks around and sees all these idols. For as I walk around, I look carefully at your objects of worship. Now, the typical kind of Christian churchy response is, oh, quit doing this, stop doing that, God wants your attention. Paul didn't do that. He didn't start there. He's like, oh. He connects with where people are. I can see you're very spiritual. I can see there's things that are really of value. You're seeking for something, and it's not getting filled. And he uses that context of where people are in their culture to actually begin to turn them, say, hey, let me tell you about a God that I've experienced. Let me tell you about one who doesn't have an unknown altar, who's closer than the very air you breathe and simply wants to know you, and he did something amazing for you. And so this is a huge, huge thing for us. We pay attention to this hill, and it drives a lot of what we do. Our seventh value, our seventh hill, is multiplication. And this is our commitment to continue to reproduce new churches and new communities. And we believe this is God's math. He works in multiplication, not addition. And let me just tell you a reality of how the church is working in America today. For every four churches that close, and there's been a lot of churches closed down during the season of COVID, for every four churches that close, there is one that is starting new. We are going in a deficit posture as churches globally. Now, Jesus, as he was coming to the end of his time here on earth, he gave us this thing called the Great Commission. He leaves this with his disciples. And he says, hey, I'm going to give you this Great Commission. That's what we've called it. And it's really a co-mission, a great co-mission, because it's him and us partnering together. And basically, he says, here's how we're going to accomplish this thing God wants to do in the world. And so basically, he says, before this verse right here, he says, all authority has been given to me. In fact, all authority has been established by me. He just rose from the dead, so anybody can do that, has all authority. And then he says, therefore, in light of all authority being given to me, I want you to go. And I want you to make disciples. That's what I want you to do. And here's how you're going to do it. I want you to baptize them. I want you to teach them. And I want you to help them to understand what it means to obey my way of living. And so think about this. This ragtag team of 12 individuals, he takes them. He says, come on, let's go change the world. He builds into them for 3 years. And then he hands the keys to the entire enterprise over to them. And it's happening because look at us. 2,000 years later, we're here. Churches here all over the globe. And then this last one is the hill of provision. And this is our belief that every good thing that comes actually comes from the hand of God. And that God has something, is doing something really big in the world, and you and I have the opportunity and privilege to be a part of it. In fact, the Apostle Paul, again, he says this in one of his letters to the Corinthians. He says, I planted the seed, meaning Paul's saying, I plant seeds. I kind of plant seeds and ideas in people's lives, possibilities, and Apollos waters it, but God is the one who makes it grow. And this just reminds us every day that hey, this thing we're doing here, this thing that we get to be a part of, it's God's enterprise. It's not mine. It's not ours. I mean, it's God's. He cares more about it than we do. And he simply allows us to continue to be a part of it, but he's faithful to continue to bring what we need. And so for the last 15 months, these eight hills have really informed the things that we've done, the ways we've behaved, the ways we've made decisions. And because our model went out the door. I mean, our model, every church's model went out the door, but the mission has continued. It's been driven by these. And so I want to share with you kind of where we're going next. We met with our directional team, began to work on some language, and I kind of shared this language with our staff team, some new language, because one of the tensions I've been feeling is how, based on where we are now, how do we begin to have very clear, applicable ways that we move forward in terms of continuing to chase the mission? And so our kind of pre-COVID mission, if you've been around here before COVID, was bring, build, send. We want to bring people in, build them up, and send them out to start new churches. And so, you know, in the season of COVID, I mean, that got interrupted. Bring people in. Well, there's no place to bring them, right? Like the physical building was shut down. And then, you know, build them up. I mean, that looked very different over the last 15 months. It was connecting virtually in many ways instead of in person. And then send them out. That campus strategy got put on pause. And so I'm going to share a little bit more here in a moment on kind of our plan for the Westfield campus. But, you know, COVID kind of shut that new initiative down for the season. And so as we've gone through this season, our mission hasn't changed, but our model changed. And so if we're going to help people, meaning we're going to, you know, help people who are far from God, people who are, you know, generally just maybe not interested or see the value of Jesus in their lives, help people who aren't interested in church, if we're going to help them find their way to God, experiencing a life-giving relationship with Jesus, then see there's a God who loves them and wants to know them and pursue them and be known by them, then we're gonna have to think about how do we engage with that culture. And here's the unique tension point right here. What I've experienced, what I've observed over the past 15 months, and I've shared this with you a few times over the last number of months, but people who are not church people, I mean, church people are like, oh man, the churches are going again. People who are not church people have not been real happy with the churches through the COVID season. I mean, you know, people who aren't church people have really been put off, irritated. I mean, I've had like 5-6 conversations where people were really violated with just the church running with their own agenda instead of just caring for the community. And I'm going to tell you, it's been interesting because this is at a higher resentment level than I've ever felt in 25 years of ministry with people who are, you know, the very mission, the very people we're here to try to help see that there's a God who loves them. And so we've just been asking the question, how do we go about the mission of connecting with those people in this new season? So there's kind of four tiers that we began to operate under. And so I want to share these with you. The first one is this. First one is we have to first endear the community. We have to endear our community. And what's interesting is we've been doing this since day one at Crosspoint. When we were across the street at Fall Creek Intermediate School, we'd say all the time, man, if Fishers is not, you know, excited that Crosspoint's here, if people don't feel like what we're doing brings value to the community, then man, we should roll the sign up, turn the lights off, shut the doors, and just stay home for the weekend. Because we don't need to play church. We don't need to show up and just go through religious motions. We're here to be on mission to help people see there's a God who loves them and knows them. And what's fascinating is in 14 years, we've never felt like we had to put language to this until now. And so we're now putting clarity to it. We're saying the very first thing we have to do is endear the community. Because there's a couple realities that have set in, and that's that, you know, our culture is kind of an unculture. There's more and more people who are just turned off to church, turned off to Jesus. And there's a lot of competing things for people's time. So we have to be extremely intentional on the front end. And so we want to endear. We want people in our community to feel like, you know, we're glad that Crosspoint's here. I mean, we're better off in our community. I mean, you know, I'm not really a church person, but those people over there known as Crosspoint, like, our community's better because of them. And, you know, during this whole shutdown, lockdown time, we kind of redeployed our staff to just endear ourselves through serving initiatives in ways that we were able to just love our community and put ourselves in a loving posture with our community when we were unable to invite people into these spaces. And this is maybe one of the most important ways that we loved our community through that season. Now, this happens at a personal level, but it also happens at an organizational level. So I want to give us a couple examples of both of these. You know, during the COVID lockdown season, we redeployed staff and developed a lot of resources, spent more resources than we ever had in terms of building into community initiatives. And this is why, you know, we were part of, you know, developed partnerships with like CAFE, the Community Alliance of the Far East Side. We're going down and serving the underserved on the far east side of Indianapolis. Things like Fisher's Youth Assistance Program, feeding students that, you know, have food scarcity in our community, meals for long-term healthcare workers who are just, you know, running ragged, caring for people this season, our Spread Some Cheer initiatives, Mealbox Drive, the Giving Tree. These were larger than ever. You know why they were larger than ever? It's because the need was greater than ever, and you guys came through and just generously blessed, like way above what we've ever done in those initiatives. You know, the blood drive, and we've done blood drives because this is one of the greatest needs in our community. These are all just us endearing ourselves and saying, hey, you know, we're here, but if the community's not better off because we're here, then listen, we should shut the whole initiative down and take down the sign and just stay home. Now, at a personal level, all right, there's ways we can walk this out as well. In fact, it was really cool that when we began the COVID season back in March of 2020, we had just started a series called How to Be a Great Neighbor. And we gave you something called a BLESS acronym, BLESS practices, and just said, man, you know, we just feel like part of what God's calling us to do is be great neighbors. Little did we know we would all be at home and have these opportunities. Now, if you weren't here for the series, it's probably one of the best things you could do is to go watch that series to understand the heart of what we want to be in our community. You can go to the watch button and you go to previous weekends and you'll find it all right there. But the BLESS initiative is simply this. What if every day I just began with prayer? God, who around me in my neighborhood, my neighbors, do you, who are you putting on my heart today that just maybe needs a touch or encouragement from me? And once you put a name on my mind, what if I just go try to connect with them when I see them or when I run across them and just listen, hey, how's life going? And listen to their location, how they're doing. And maybe even take an opportunity to eat or connect over coffee, because it's amazing what happens when you connect over a meal or over a beverage. And then as a result of praying, listening, and eating together, usually you discover, hey, here's a need in their life that I could step in and fill the gap on. And when you do that, you know what begins to happen is you may get the opportunity to tell your story. They may even say, hey, why are you doing all this? Why are you being so generous with me? What's driving this? And you say, well, man, God's been generous with me, and this is just an opportunity for me to do this with others, just endearing ourselves to the community. In fact, it goes all the way back to the first father of the nation of Israel, Father Abraham, who God said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great so that you can go out and be a blessing. Just simply bless people. Be an encouragement. Put others first. And so we've just said, we got to make this at the front end. How do we endear ourselves personally and organizationally to the community? It's probably more important than it ever has been before. Now, the second kind of initiative in our strategy is how do we inspire our audience? And if we're honest, one of the things we've discovered over the last number of months is that even though in this room the crowd is smaller, our audience is actually bigger. And during the first 3 months when everything was shut down, that kind of allowed us to kind of hone our skills and the ways we connect, through a screen, a piece of glass, through a camera to people on the other side of a TV, which we had never done before. This was all new to us. And so for those first few months, those first 2-3 months, nobody was in the room. And we just really had to say, how do we inspire an audience that's stuck at home and went all shoulder-to-shoulder contact with? And this allowed us to kind of work through this. And we got really good, by the way, at really engaging kids and students as well. In fact, our team has just done a fantastic job. If you've never checked out our kids' environments online, it's like going to Playhouse Disney. I mean, it is so amazing. And my wife is one of the faces in one of the environments in some of our other team. And they'll tell me all the time that kids will stop them, they'll be at the store and they'll just stand there looking at them like, I see you every week in Upstreet. I see you every week in, you know, my preschool environment. I mean, and so, you know, it's been really cool how we've said, how do we stay connected and inspire our environment? So we're going to keep doing that. We're going to keep those going even as we resume in-person environments. And we're going to bring our best and we're going to try to continue to inspire the best that we can. Now, the third part of this strategy, and this is where we're up to our eyeballs right now, is to engage our tribe in the mission. So this is about getting the once engaged, re-engaged in the mission. Meaning, let's be honest, over the last year, there weren't a lot of engagement opportunities for volunteering because, you know, we didn't have things going on in person. And so, you know, people got into other routines and other weekend routines. And so one of our major focuses right now is how do we re-engage the tribe? How do we engage those who call Crosspoint home to the mission of helping people find their way to God? Because see, when you engage with the ministries, you actually engage in the mission. Meaning when you serve in kids and student environments, you're engaging in the mission. When you're welcoming people at the front door, you're engaging in the mission. When you're pushing knobs in the tech booth or playing in the band, you're engaging in the mission. When you're hosting a small group, when you're gathering people together to give and breathe life into community, you're engaging in the mission. And so this is the third strategy that we're really recruiting and developing and raising up leaders and individuals to continue to engage. And then the fourth tier is we still are highly committed to sending people out. It's not about building something bigger and bigger right here, but we believe as we endear our community, and as we inspire our audience to follow Jesus, and as we engage our tribe in the mission, then we can take what we do here and we can continue to reproduce it into new communities. Which brings us to the Westfield campus. Anybody excited to get the Westfield campus up and going? Yeah, good. Man, maybe there's some Westfield launch team people here. Awesome. Well, hey, our original time frame for Westfield got interrupted because of COVID, and so that was to launch last fall of 2021. And of course, COVID adjusted that. And so I want to share with you the new timeline on this. And you know, one of the things we know is a strong in-person successful launch is critical to a successful campus. And so we haven't seen a pathway to that until just recently as it's looking as we're coming out of the COVID season. And so as of right now, here's the target date. Our target date for our very first preview service is going to be Christmas Eve 2021. How about that? You guys excited about that? Yeah, man, that's exciting. Now, here's why I'm excited about that, because that's when this campus began its very first preview almost 15 years ago this Christmas on Christmas Eve weekend. And so there's kind of a cool connection right there. And then that campus is planned to launch in early 2022. Now, as we think back over 2020, 2021, pretty much everything we've known, we threw out the window. Even some of our marketing strategies, we have this great line that we use all the time that's like, hey, there's dim lights and easy exits at Crosspoint if you change your mind. When we were virtual exclusively, we're trying to figure out how to talk about what we do. We're like, there's not dim lights and easy exits at your home. I guess there is. I mean, is it like there's a, you can turn us off and power down if you don't like what you're experiencing. I mean, we had to take everything we did and said, and we had to adjust. Because everything we kind of build our reputation and our skill set and our identity around, it all kind of evaporated. And as I've mentioned many times over the last year, you know, the key to leading through times of uncertainty is to bring clarity. Because we can't sell certainty. I can't tell you with certainty what's going to happen in the future. That's the realm of the heavenlies. God operates in the realm of understanding and knowing what the future holds. So where we cannot provide certainty, we have to provide clarity. And so that's been my role over the past 15 months. In fact, it's why I'm sharing some of this with you right now. I have to be as specific as possible, saying here's what we can do, here's what we can do now, here's what, instead of focusing on what we can't do, but here's what we can do. So to that end, I want to give you some walkouts on ways that we can engage, and I hope this stirs some things. You might say, okay, here's a place where I'm going to take a next step. So if you filled that connection card out, go ahead and pull that out. I just want that kind of sitting in front of you. If you're at home, hit that button. If you haven't filled the connection card out, you can go ahead and fill the opening part out and then get to this whole list of next steps. And I just want to walk through these three tiers and kind of give us some very practical ways to engage as we go forward. Now, the first one, endearing our community, so many ways we can continue to endear our community. One's with the blood drive coming up. Man, I'd love to see that schedule filled out of this weekend, that every time slot on July 1st is filled, because we care so much about giving life to our community through the source of blood that they have to come back in a few weeks to do another one. So there's a button in the app next to the stream. You can mark it on your connection card. Another way is serving down at Cafe. This alliance that we formed with the Community Alliance of the Far East Side, just serving the underprivileged. We've had men's groups, families, students can go down together. It's every Monday from noon to 3. You're just putting food in a trunk of a car and blessing a family. And so it's an amazing opportunity to say, hey, we're here to make the community better. Now, these next couple are kind of fun. One of the things we've just kind of been wrestling with is we think our community needs to have fun again. You guys believe we should have fun, like in our community and Fishers and surrounding areas and wherever you live, for those of you tuning online? So our production team has put together two backyard movie kits for you to use free of charge. And here's how it works. You can reserve these. There's a button in the app. There's a button on the stream. You can mark it on your connection card. And we'll give you a speaker and a projector and a screen to go have a block party, a backyard movie night, to invite your neighbors, have fun. You can reserve it as many times as you want through the summer months to restore life into our community. So great opportunity to just endear ourselves to our neighbors. Why are you doing this? Well, because we believe God wants us to have fun. We find great value in that. We miss our neighbors. It's the way we endear ourselves. Our small group leaders, you're going to be receiving an email over this next week with our Summer of Fun initiative, which for our groups, we're going to be challenging, encouraging you to just connect and have fun together. We're going to give you all kinds of fun ideas, including doing a backyard movie night, in addition to a number of other things. If you're a small group leader and your group hasn't been meeting, I just ask you to consider, would you reconvene for the summer? We're not going to have any like discussion content, but would you reconvene and just connect, have fun, do life together, and enjoy community, because we've missed this. So there's so many ways that we can engage and endear in our community. Now, tier two, inspiring our audience. Our kids and production teams continue to do fantastic work in both in the online and as well as the in-person experiences. And one thing that we would just love to ask of you is if you would let us know what your intention is in terms of connecting on weekends. Are you going to go with more the in-person expression, or are you going to go with the online virtual expression? I'm going to be honest with you, we don't care which one it is. We love that this season forced us to have both. And so, but knowing where you're going to connect, you sharing that with us helps us be able to help you stay connected and meet needs that you have. So if you could mark that on your connection card, man, that would be huge so we can come alongside you. Now, the next one, this is our biggest focus right now, is engaging the entire tribe back in the mission. Helping the once engaged, that, you know, we've all been off for the most part for a year. How do we re-engage in the mission? And the newly engaged, if you're newer to Crosspoint, how can you become a part of the mission? And so we've set a goal for our kids' teams being open now, and we have a goal that by September we're going to have another service of kids' environments open, so we have two service times open. And so, you know, if you want to join one of those teams, it's probably the greatest area of need right now. And I'm telling you, it takes hand raisers, it takes people that are saying, hey, I'm willing to jump in, I'm willing to be a part of the mission. It's a huge, huge opportunity to tie into what God is doing. And there's other volunteering opportunities as well. We need camera operators. We need musicians and people to stand at the front doors and welcome people. But wherever you have interest, would you just consider, if you're not engaged, saying, how can I be a part of the mission? Because when you're a part of those mission, those ministries, you're actually moving the mission forward. And then the last tier, sending people out. It's probably the biggest initiative that we have in front of us. And as we prepare to launch the Westfield campus this Christmas, I want to give a couple opportunities right here. If you are someone who lives in Westfield, Noblesville, north side of Indy, Metro North area, I just want to ask if you would give serious consideration to joining the Westfield launch team. And if so, just mark that on your connection card. And Chris, who's our pastor at our Westfield campus, he'll follow up with you, share with you about what that's going to look like. But would you just consider joining that team as we take what we do here to new communities, closer to your home? And then secondly, for those of you who are already committed to the team, I just want to say thank you and wait to be patient and wait for us to be able to see a clear pathway. All right, way to go. Let's thank those people. We got about 30, 35 people committed to that team. Way to go. Now, here's my ask of you. I want to ask you to get engaged in a ministry here at Crosspoint, in kids, in serving somewhere so that we can train you and raise you up so that when you go to Westfield this Christmas, you're going to be ready to take what we do here and implement it there. And then for others of us, I know we got people who are prayer warriors. You know, maybe you're not going to go to Westfield, but you're like, man, I'll pray for them. Will you be a prayer warrior with our team? Just praying for favor as we get to that community. So three opportunities right there. So this is what we can do. This is what we can do now. This is what kind of our season that we're in as we go forward is going to require of us. And I just want to thank you, man, for your patience, for continuing to abandon previous models and say, how do we go forward in this new season? And I'm excited about what God's going to do. Now, as we close, I want to share with you one story that I think will kind of bring this all together, and at least it has for me. And it's a picture of why what we've been doing and what we're going to is so important. A little over a week ago, I lost a friend to cancer. And I met this friend, Chad, through coaching basketball. He used to coach my youngest daughter in basketball for 3 years. And 2 years ago, his daughter landed on my team. And so I said to him, I said, Chad, why aren't you coaching? And I thought you'd be our coach. He said, well, I'm on a cancer battle. So that connected us. You know, my wife's gone through a cancer battle. And so we just kind of, you know, started connecting, having coffee. And as we talked, you know, he opened up spiritually, and that was a conversation that he was interested in having. And I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of times, I don't always introduce myself as a pastor to people because a lot of times people put their arms up. And even that was pre-COVID. Now that there's a lot of animosity over the church and Christians and how Christians have been more about their agenda than loving the community. And I'm telling you, earlier this year, we shared a video with you of another couple that has been in our small group that recently came to Crosspoint that we've known for a while, coached together. And Derek said, he said, yeah, when I first met you, Kurt, and I heard you did what you did, I immediately put a wall up. And that's very normal. Just to be honest, that's very normal. So Chad and I began to connect, and fast forward to Easter, that next spring, which just a few months later, and everything was shut down, and our Easter was online. And Chad, he sent me a text because he joined our Easter service. I mean, talk about an opportunity to engage and inspire our audience. And here was his text. He said, I turned on the noon service and it was really great. I loved the last prayer really spoke to me, helped me understand where I am and how I'm going to restart this faith journey. Have a great day. Enjoy the family. Enjoy the talk on Thursday. Shortly after this, cancer seemed to kind of be regressing at least, and that things were progressing in the right direction, and then it took a hard, bad turn. And we can continue to connect, and let me tell you, Crosspoint, your other's first posture of putting the comfort of yourself aside to continue to mask up, continue to distance, to continue to do things to protect those who are more vulnerable. It matters. It mattered. And it mattered for this friend of mine, at least for him. In fact, at Christmas, Chad's cancer got worse. He was in the midst of chemo. His immune system, I think, was really, really low. And he wrote this to him. He said, "The doc can only say the big guy upstairs is looking out for you." And I 100% believe that. I've grown very close to God during this journey, and I feel he's a big part of my day-to-day of survival. We'll be at your church this Christmas Eve in person. Can't wait. I couldn't believe they were coming. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? And I just love that they felt like this was a place that they could be, even in the midst of his cancer journey. So when I got word that he had passed away a week and a half ago, cancer had overcame his physical body, not his spiritual. But as soon as I heard that, I reached out to his wife, Jen. I said, "Jen, I'm so sorry." I shared my condolences and offered if there's a way I could help. And here's what she wrote back to me. She said, "Thank you, Kurt. He thought so highly of you." Let me tell you something. I don't hear that very often from people who are outside looking in. People that have this vision of what Christianity looks like, and, you know, I just thought, man, that's endearing right there. Somehow I'd had the opportunity to endear myself to him. And this is what this season has required of us. And it's made a world of difference, an eternal difference. And what you've done's mattered. And so I just want to, you know, ask you, as we go forward, what's that next step for you? I mean, there's a lot of opportunities for engaging the community, blood, you know, participating in blood drive, continuing to endear ourselves to the community, you know, jumping into serving. Whatever it is, it matters, and it matters to God, and it matters for people's eternity. So as you think about that, as you process that, just mark something before you go. Commit to something, if you will. And we're going to sing a song that reminds us there's nothing that our God can't do. And so I want to invite you to stand, and I'm going to share this prayer with you as I close. This is the Apostle Paul says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory." We just need to pause and say, thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. We made it. We're here. We're still going throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's sing.